Think big. Think positive. Never show any sign of weakness. Always go for the throat. Buy low, sell high. Fear, that's the other guy's problem. Nothing you have ever experienced can prepare you for the unbridled carnage you're about to witness. Right. Super Bowl, the World Series, they don't know what pressure is. In this building, it's either kill or be killed. Right. You make no friends in the pits and you take no prisoners.
No prisoners.
1 minute, you're up half a million in soybeans, and the next, boom, your kids don't go to college and they've repossessed your Bentley. Are you with me?
Hello and welcome to Turner's Take Podcast. I'm your host, Craig Turner. Broker here at Daniels Trading. I write Turner's Take newsletter. I also publish this podcast, Turner's Take. That's free for anyone who wants to receive it. Just go to any place where you get your podcasts on iTunes or anywhere else. And then if you're interested in a newsletter, you can go to turnerstake.com or turnerstakeag.com. I work with broker-assisted clients here, self-directed online traders, a very popular category hybrid, which is a mix of both. So if you want to talk to me about your hedging, your spec trading, whatever it may be in the futures commodity markets, feel free to give me a call. Alrighty, so let's dive into it. On the macro scene with stocks that hit record prices, I think today or yesterday, it's interesting rally because it's being led by some of the more defensive stocks, some of the like the Mercks of the world and kind of like the big companies' funds will rotate into when they want to get a little bit more defensive about growth. Yet those are the companies that are leading us to the all-time highs here. So that's a little bit different than normal when you see us make new long-time highs. But I don't know. We'll keep on seeing if it can keep on going. We do see U.S. Consumer confidence a little bit lower. Housing is stabilized. The market is expecting a Fed rate cut. So we'll see what happens here with the stock market. I think it's looking a little toppy, but we just went through. I'm looking for, aggressively, that kind of like selling it a little bit up here. But if we want to be more conservative, I like buying the dips, just kind of waiting for a big one. So that's where we are on the macro side. Dollar seems to be hanging in there. Global growth looks okay. There's no telltale signs of a crash. There's no telltale signs of robust growth either. It's kind of steady as she goes. So that is the macro landscape right now. If we take a look at the green markets first, it's been a slow week. It's probably going to be a slow week next week. I am expecting this to be a chop between now and the WASDE report. There's no reason to get excited either way. Without any fresh bullish news in the grain and oilseed markets, it's probably more likely a slow bleed lower. Sounds like the U.S. and China have worked on phase one of a deal. China thinks they're ready to sign it. The United States says they're almost there, but there may be a couple other things they want to add. Sounds like this all gets done, but again, that's November 17th, and there's plenty of time for things to fall out, or one of the parties to move the goalposts, which has certainly happened before. Wouldn't be surprised if it happened again. So as you're looking at this as a trader or a farmer, a need to market, to me, between now and the WASDE, not a whole lot's going on. Probably short straddles are the way to go. Or maybe even sell the rallies and look for the slow bleed lower. For the bulls out there that think we're gonna be higher, it's gonna have to take two things. Three things can lead this market higher now. One, the WASDE does have lower yields. There are some prominent analysts I read this morning said you may even inch up yields a little bit just based on how harvest has been going and the reports and the crop conditions that have been coming in. I'd be surprised on that. I think we're going to be a little bit lower, but I don't think it's going to be drastically lower or higher. But, there are also some analysts out there that still think this yields 162 in corn and 46 in soybeans. And if that's the case, then, we should be, $4 corn and, $9.50 beans, at least, right? So, and also it's harvest, and we are seeing definitely some selling pressure coming in. Now, I know a lot of you have been saying the basis is high around the country, and I just wonder how much of that is from on-farm storage. That hasn't been released yet. A lot of farmers still have crop out there, not as much as they used to. And if there is still a lot of on-farm storage, you know, where is this corn and why is it still being held on to? You know, 10 years ago, 15 years ago, when we didn't have as much on-farm storage, I mean, the elevator is always in the best interest. The elevator just wanted to buy the grain, sell the grain. They have their basis, right, their bid and their ask. They're making, you know, the spread in between that, you know, when they're buying it from the farmer and selling it to the end user. And they're really not speculating on price at all. They don't care if the prices are low or high. They just want to buy the grain and then get it back out. But with the farmer and now having storage, doesn't. Like, they tend to hold on and they're going to look for the best price possible. So in the past, you know, when they used to let the grain go and then you can always buy it back on the board. But now with all the storage on farm, you can keep on holding it. So I'm almost wondering if there's a situation out there where basis is, I'm not saying, I mean, it's tight for a reason, but maybe it's tighter than it needs to be just because of all the on-farm storage that we have now, where it isn't really a true reflection of the cash market. Maybe it's just more of a very big collective, like, short squeeze almost, if that, you know, kind of cornering the market. But I don't know. We'll see what happens here with harvest, because old crop, you know, any old crop needs to be moved out if it hasn't already. And as farmers do harvest, are they going to sell? Are they going to sell it and hold soybeans? That's been the kind of consensus. There seems to be a bigger consensus out there that soybean has a better potential. I kind of agree with them. As I'm seeing yields come back from the eastern part of the belt, like Illinois, Indiana, Ohio, yields have been lower. They haven't been shockingly lower, but, you know, the USDA is basically saying we're about 10% lower in, or 5 to 10% lower in, we start off at 49, now we're at 47, so 5% lower in soybeans, 5% lower in corn from the trend line. And what we're really trying to figure out now is, is it lower than that? Because I was talking to a lot of clients today and during this week in Iowa, and it isn't that bad. Like, a lot of the yields I'm seeing out of Iowa are halfway decent, and the later stuff is performing better than they thought. Now, that's, again, this is just localized and the stories that you get. But it's not like it's falling apart. We're not getting all these reports out of the field where it's much worse than they thought, which is one of the reasons why we thought we may get this post-harvest rally when farmers get in the field and saw the yields, they'd really be down. And that hasn't been the case. So I think we're more likely to be a little bit range-bound here. Support for corn comes in about 380, 379, and then if we break there in December, we're at 371, I would say. On the upside, that 395 is going to be, 390 to 395 are going to be big resistance levels. Soybeans can technically come down. November could probably technically come down to 910. That puts January at around a little bit above 920 on the support level here. So that could still come down about 10 cents, too. When I look at the WASDE estimates, I mean, just where we are now, we're at about 1.9 billion. Exports have been poor. They've been very poor. We're like 60% behind our normal pace right now on the exports. So even as the crops come down, we're going to have to, where the production comes down, we're going to probably have to ration down the export demand also. So you can see a situation here where production can drop, but so does demand, and we're still in this 1.92 billion ending stocks, which really doesn't argue for $4 corn. It argues more for like 360 corn at a 2 billion carryout. So we'll just have to keep on seeing what goes on here. The other two things that can rally the corn market or the grain markets overall, South American weather, which is probably going to be the biggest driver, I would think, going forward. And the second one, and the last one, would be this meeting coming up between the United States and China, November 16th and 17th. They'll both be in Chile for the Asian-Pacific economic cooperation talks. And down there, if they really do get phase one agreed upon, they will have a meeting and sign it when they're in China. What's that going to include? I have a feeling it's going to be the U.S. rolls back some tariffs, not all of them, but some of them. China rolls back their tariffs and say they're going to buy, you know, $20 to $25 million or billion dollars worth of ag products a year based on market conditions, meaning that if we do have the lower price, China will come in and buy it from us. And Lord knows they need pork. So that would be the bullish sentiment on that. It could be good for soybeans too. But that's where we are in the grain market. So I think corn is range bound. I wouldn't be surprised. Without any bullish news, we leak lower. You know, it's kind of like a death by a thousand cuts kind of deal where I can see that going on with corn. What's also not so great is when you look at projected acres for next year, and we're using 93 million acres corn, and we're using 85 million acres soybeans, all right? And just keep this in mind. Right now, December 20 corn, first of all, July is at 408, but December 20 is 406. And then for soybeans, November 20 is 970. All right, so you got $4 new crop, you know, these 20 corn, you got 970. November 20 beans, you know, that's enough. That's high enough to bring acres, you know, out. We'll see plenty of corn. Well, I'm sure we'll probably see 93 million acres corn on that if we're talking about $4 corn. 85 million soybeans makes sense in our models. Here's the problem. At 93 million acres and a 178 trend line yield, if demand doesn't pick up for us on the export market in a big way, we're looking at a 2.8 billion carryout. Not for this year, not for the 19-20 marketing year, but for the 2021. So that's not good. That's not good at all. So we're gonna start getting, and if we can still sell these corn over $4, I want to say, what was March 21? Another one we've been looking at is March 21. Just if we think we're gonna, here it is, March 21. Bear with me a second here. March 20 is 415. And the idea was, if you're going to store it anyways, you might as well try to sell it, and then hold on to it. So, I mean, basically sell the futures and eventually store the grain and collect the carry. So, I mean, the fact that you can sell corn for, as a farmer, March 21 and price that out at 415, you got to think the acres are coming. And if we're going to have a 2.7, 2.8, 2.9 carry out, with a trend line yield and demand not really improving that much. Let's keep in mind, even if the U.S.-China deal gets done, we still have African swine flu and a global feed demand hit to deal with. That's not looking great. So those are our views right now on soybeans. On corn, I think long-term it still looks bearish. Short-term, we're more neutral. On the soybean side, again, you know, we're at a 460 ending stocks. I think yields are going to come down to 46, but the USDA doesn't have to do that. If we do get this China deal trade one, I would instantly put back probably 50 million bushels on the export column. So we go from like 1.775 to 1.825. And, you know, stocks are tight. They're tight at that point. They're adequate. They are adequate. We have to go sub 46 and some real strong Chinese buying for this year to get us lower on the ending stock. So it looks like soybeans has a better bullish story right now than corn. And I'll say this too: if we go to 85 million acres next year, and the trend line yield when the Ag Forum comes out in February is going to be around 50 ending stocks, we probably add 200 million to the ending stocks. So if we finish the year at 350, then next year we're talking 550. You know, if we are 460 and doesn't change where the USDA has us now, you know, the projected, you know, from the Ag Forum would be 660 in February. So keep that in mind too. It's not as bearish as the corn, but it's certainly not good, and we're definitely building year over year. The reason being is demand is still not great. Our crush demand's good, and our domestic for soybeans and domestic demand is good for corn, but the export demand has not been good. And what we're doing is just at our normal acreage kind of slice with yields, the trend line yield going up a little bit every year just puts more pressure on that. So we need to find demand for these grain markets if we're going to get a sustained rally. Otherwise, we're just going to get supply shocks, and that just takes one big cycle to go from adequate or tight to burdensome on the supply. So again, I mean, I see 970 for soybeans, and we need to be pricing more here. We're kind of hoping for a rally heading into either the WASDE report, South American weather, or the trade deal to spark the markets, and then we'll be looking to sell that. As far as hogs go, we have been lower. The bellies were lower today. So we were down $2 at one point. We have stabilized a little bit, but technically it's now turned into a little bit of a bear market. We'll have to see how that develops on the cattle side. Fats keep on chugging higher. I'm kind of surprised we're at 116 now. Looks a little toppy, but you know, the momentum is still high. We like it. Just want to buy it on the breaks. We think cattle's going to be strong in the fourth quarter and the first quarter, not just because of the seasonality of it, but also of the global protein crunch we're going to have. So, again, we're just going to be patient, and when we get back in, we're just going to look for the break on that. Finally, I want to talk a little bit. I'm not going to – if you have any interest in this next subject, you're just going to have to call me or email me, especially if you're a client. But one thing that has been brought to my attention is the rice market. We don't talk about it here that often. I also don't talk about oats that much. It's just low volume, low open interest. But there is some interesting developments happening in rice. It looks like the production that is going to be lower. We also are seeing the basis, if the strongest basis moves I've seen in the past couple of months have been in the rice market. It doesn't get that much play because there's not enough volume in those markets for banks to pay analysts or for newsletter writers to talk about it. It's purely just a financial breakdown of why it's not covered. That's why OJ isn't as covered as much as it used to be. You don't see a whole lot of coverage on oats, on rice, OJ. There's a couple others down, lumber, and just because the volume isn't there. And if the big banks and institutions don't have the volume from the clients, they're not going to pay an analyst to do it. But anyways, with the rice, I'm not going to write about it in my newsletter. It's too small of a market. I'm really not going to go much more into it now. But if you do have an interest in rice, if you are a farmer, or you do trade in those smaller markets, you have to have a big account because it's kind of illiquid. But there are some real interesting opportunities in it. Just give me a call, shoot me an email. I'm happy to talk to any client here at Daniel's Trading about it. Again, I will not end up writing about it. It's just too small of a market. So anyways, everyone, good luck out there. Halloween is Thursday. So I'll be leaving the office a little bit Thursday to go trick-or-treating. And be safe out there. Have a great rest of your week, and I'll talk to you next week.
This material is conveyed as a solicitation for entering into a derivatives transaction. This material has been prepared by a Daniels Trading broker who provides research market commentary and trade recommendations as part of his or her solicitation for accounts and solicitation for trades. Daniels Trading, its principals, brokers, and employees may trade in derivatives for their own accounts or for the accounts of others. Due to various factors such as risk tolerance, margin requirements, trading objectives, short-term versus long-term strategies, technical versus fundamental market analysis, and other factors, such trading may result in the initiation or liquidation of positions that are different from or contrary to the opinions and recommendations contained therein. Past performance is not necessarily indicative of future performance. The risk of loss in trading futures contracts or commodity options can be substantial, and therefore, investors should understand the risks involved in taking leveraged positions and must assume responsibility for the risks associated with such investments and for their results. You should carefully consider whether such trading is suitable for you in light of your circumstances and financial resources. You should read the risk disclosure accessed at www.danielstrading.com. Daniels Trading is not affiliated with, nor does it endorse any trading system, newsletter, or similar service. Daniels Trading does not guarantee or verify any performance claims made by such systems or services.